reading from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, says this: "For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news." This is Paul telling the Corinthian church. "Not with clever speech." Somebody amen. Amen. "For no clever speech." Yep, yep. When we stumble over our words. "For fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God." For whatever reason, okay? And I have a couple theories on why, but for whatever reason, we have somewhat eliminated the message of the cross because we can't make the cross comfortable. See, we live in a culture where comfort is everything. We live in a culture where we try to make one another comfortable. We try to say comforting things. We try to do things like, how can I help? How can I make you comfortable? And there's just no way that we can make the cross comfortable. It's impossible. And so we kind of just shy away from things that make us uncomfortable. Well, we're not going to talk about that at this table because it's uncomfortable. And so we bring that whole theory into the cross. And here's what happens when we bring in the cross: that you and I can't save ourselves. That you and I have to now talk about sin, because without sin, there's no need for the cross. And so we got to then talk about sin. And now when we're talking about sin, we got to get specific on what sin, because we like to surface things to fix people, but we don't like to go deep, which is to fix the sin. So we Band-Aid, which is what? Making you comfortable. We don't want to talk about the real issues. Let's just talk about the behavior. And so let's modify the behavior. Let's turn over a new leaf, so to speak. And Jesus comes in and says, actually, we got to talk about a sin issue. It's a sin issue. And until we talk about a sin issue, until we talk about the heart, the root, until we pull that up, the behavior stuff's not going to go away. We're just going to repeat it. It's going to come in different faces, different forms, but it's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. Why? Why? Because there's a root issue, and it's called sin. And the more we shy away from that, the more we keep running from the cross and running away from the cross and pretending it never happened, but it did happen. And we see the effects all around us. So we have to talk about the cross. We have to talk about why Jesus did what he did. We have to talk about why you and I are doing what we're doing. And when we avoid the cross and the message of the cross, and here's why we avoid it. Here's why: because it's a strange message. It is so strange. It is so peculiar because we don't live this way. We don't live in such a way that we die for one another. And so it's a strange message. It's a strange message because you and I, we say we love people, but living out love is so difficult with the people you should love. Right? It's so, like, my family I should love, and they're difficult. So it becomes a strange message. Now I got to love people that don't like me, that aren't for me, that are big tools. Right? Oh, I got to love those people. And he says, no, this message is strange. The Jews thought it was strange. The Romans thought it was strange. Isaiah says this: "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way, and he was despised, and we did not care." This message is so strange. It says Jesus is ugly. Jesus, there's nothing attractive about him. He was despised. He was rejected. It's not a superhero movie. It's not one of those things where Jesus comes in ultra handsome. We put him on the wall, perfect beard, everything groomed. It doesn't say that. It says he was ugly. Why? So people wouldn't be attracted to his physical appearance, thus missing the point. We do that. Superman, attractive, not Jesus. Not Jesus. So if you want, let your little kids draw pictures of Jesus and put that up on the wall. That's more of a depiction of the perfectly groomed white Jesus. I don't even think he's white, but that's another story. Jesus is a strange message to those who have never experienced the power of the cross. And this is what Paul told the Corinthian church. For in his wisdom, God designed that all the world's wisdom would be insufficient to lead people to the discovery of himself. He took great delight in baffling the wisdom of the world by using the simplicity of preaching the story of the cross in order to save those who believe it. For the Jews constantly demand to see miraculous signs, while those who are not Jews constantly cling to the world's wisdom. But we preach the crucified Messiah. The Jews stumble over him, and the rest of the world see him as foolishness. But for those who have been chosen to follow him, both Jews and Greeks, he is God's mighty power, God's true wisdom, and our Messiah. He's saying, listen, this message is so strange that nobody's fathomed. Nobody can fathom it. People are trying to figure it out in their own wisdom. People are trying to understand in their own line of thinking. He says, no, it cannot. For those who believe it, they understand its power to everybody else. You know the word foolish or foolishness that we get? It's moronic. It is being a moron. It is being so unintelligent about the message of the gospel. And this is God's point. It's a strange but simple message. Strange but simple. And we're trying to figure it out, just like we do as we go through life. What are we trying to do? We're trying to figure out what is going on here. What are we trying to do, really? We're trying to be God. We're trying to be in control. We're trying to figure out something. And let me say this, if you figure it out, wouldn't you be God? So what are we trying to figure out? Are we trying to figure it out so that we can tell everybody we figured it out? Are we trying to figure it out so we can let the world know how wise we are? Listen, apart from Christ, we are not wise. We are not. It is a strange, it's a shocking message. Like, I don't have time to go through how shocking of a message it is because it's brutal. And it's so shocking. It's worse than any R-rated movie you could ever even fathom. And I'm not going into the details, but this is how shocking it is. This is how awful of a death it is. This is how crazy it is that Christ was crucified. It's shocking, you guys. These truths of according to his word. You can read all throughout it in the Gospels of how he was crucified and what happened to him. These truths do not even scratch the surface of anything Mel Gibson has ever done. It doesn't even scratch the surface, okay, of any passion play that you happen to be in at some point. Raj in the back, right? Right? It doesn't even scratch the surface. How shocking it is that this is what God chose. Is that it's not just a shock. It is horrific. But yet, it's a simple message. Romans 10 says this, and we know this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know what I love about that verse? It doesn't say you might be. It doesn't say you could be. It doesn't even say you should be. It says you will be. If what? If you confess, if I can, it's so simple. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. You know how simple it is? It's that people don't make you right with God. God makes you right with God. Why are we striving to be right with God by using people? When God says, here's the simplicity of the message. Yes, it is shocking. Yes, it is crazy. Yes, it is strange. But this is the simplicity. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring that your faith, about your faith that you are saved. This is what he's talking about. Why do we overcomplicate this? Why do we have a hard time with this? To which my point would be, what is the point? Why this path? Why this path? Why this message? Why the simplicity? Why all of these things? Why do we even have to go to... What is the point? I believe the point is making a statement. God is making a statement. Romans says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for what? Died for us sinners. This is the statement that God is making, that it is easy to love people, that it is easy to say, I love you too, to somebody who loves you. He says, no, that is not why I came. The simplicity of the message, the statement that Christ made, when you were utterly helpless, when you were in despair, when you didn't know where to turn, when you had all the questions, he says, in that moment, Christ came at what? At just the right time. At just the right time. Now, most people would be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love to us by sending Christ to die for us when? While we were still sinners. While we were still sinning. Try this. Try this at your workplace. Hey, I forgive you. I didn't do anything. It's for the future. It's for the future. It's going to happen. It's going to happen at some point. Just later on today, when you're a jerk, I forgive you. While you're still a jerk, I forgive you. Weird, right? Strange. This is what he did. This is the cross. This is the statement that he made to the world. For the greatest love of all is love that sacrifices all. This is what John says in 15:13 of the Passion. He said, the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. It wasn't just a statement. The point was not just, hey, I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to make a point. That wasn't it. It was that he provided a way. He became salvation. And I think that's the point. The point is that you and I cannot save ourselves. The point is that we need a Savior. The point is, even if we've never realized it, or our wife has told us 100 times, or our kids, or our husband, whoever it is that told us 100 times, the point was that he provided salvation. He provided a way out, and that's the point. It's not just that God made a statement, look everybody, look what I did with my son, look at my message, I loved you when you're sinners. It wasn't just that. It was that he was providing a way out, and that's the point. The point is that you and I are without excuse. We are without excuse, especially in the United States of America. We are without excuse. Hebrews says it this way. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is what? There is no forgiveness. And God knew this. And he sent the best. It wasn't just a statement. It was that you and I need a Savior. If you want to know what to pray for your husband, for your kids, for that coworker, pray that they understand that they need a Savior. That's how you pray. Don't pray, God, get them. Don't pray, God, all of a sudden you get into karma all of a sudden in your prayers. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't even throw out scripture of like, well, God, they're going to reap what they sow. No. Remember how God loves us? What's it say? He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That's who God is kind to. And his kindness is what leads us to repentance. Maybe instead of revenge, we should be kind to our coworkers. I know it's weird. It's a weird concept. Maybe being kind to them is what will soften the heart. So why don't we start praying things like, God, would you open their eyes that they might see you? God, I pray that when they see me, they see you. God, I pray that I would be a living example of someone that's showing and demonstrating what true love is. Because God, and again, it's a reminder, because God, you are kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That means, God, I need strength today because my coworkers are ungrateful and wicked. And I need strength today to be kind to them. God, you don't understand my kids. They don't seem to appreciate anything. God, I pray that you give me kindness to my kids. Because if I can't start there, God, Lord, help me, I will not do anything outside of my household. What is that? That's us praying honest prayers of, God, I'm praying your promises, who you are, your character. That is the statement that he's making. First Peter says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with gold or silver, which lose their value. It was precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He made a statement. He provided salvation. And the point also was that he defeated the devil. He defeated the devil. And that's the point. The point is not that I have resurrection power that I can go around zapping people. It's that I have resurrection power to withstand, to stand strong in, to persevere, to not give up against the schemes of the enemy, which is to steal, kill, and to destroy my life. That is the plan of the enemy. And the cross defeated the enemy. That's the point. Not just a statement, not just salvation, but that he defeated Satan. Ephesians says it this way. Once you were dead because of what? Your disobedience, my disobedience, and many sins. Paul's telling the Ephesian church, listen, you weren't just disobedient. You got lots of things going against you. Okay, many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Here's what he's saying. Listen, there's a moment where you are so weak, where you are so defensive, that you're giving your life over. Okay? See this. Oh my gosh, am I worshiping the devil? Is this what I'm saying? I'm not doing all these things in my basement with candles. I'm not doing those things. No, but what I'm doing is I'm saying no to God, and I'm heading down a path of disobedience. He says, listen, you used to live that way. Who's he talking to? He's talking to mature Christians at Ephesus that you used to live that way. You know better than that. I'm tired of you living that way. You used to be defeated. You're not defeated anymore. I'm tired of you doing that. Come on. He's kicking them literally in the robe pants today, but robe then. Okay? That's what he's doing. He's kicking them. He's saying, listen, you guys, we used to do that. We don't do that anymore. What is that? He is making a statement that he, by the power of the cross, has defeated the devil. Revelation says, they conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb. And the powerful word of his testimony. It continues on. We don't usually read this part. They triumphed because they did not love and cling to their own lives, even though they faced death. What is he saying? He says they didn't just have a testimony on a Sunday night at church. They didn't just say, yep, listen, I got a testimony. They said, in the face of death, they held true to the fact that they had a testimony. And that testimony, even in the face of death, caused them to be triumphant. Why? Because it's not just a strange message. It's not just a shocking message. It's not just a simple message. He wasn't just making a point. He was talking about the power of the cross. Because there's power in the cross. Here's what it says. Romans 6:14 says, sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of what? God's grace. God's grace. He says, listen, this is the power of the cross. Sin dies. It's not just a statement. It's not just a crazy message. It's that sin dies, which means the old you is no longer you. Now there's a new you. Because of the power of the cross, that you don't have to live that way. In the culture, it says, listen, once a cheater, always a cheater. Once a liar, always a liar. Jesus comes and says, here's the power of the cross. You don't have to live that way anymore. I have defeated that way of living, and now I've risen you up with it. That is the power of the cross. He says, listen, your husband, he's going to be different. Your wife, your kids, the people you're praying for, they can be different because this is the power of the cross. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Behold, all things are new. This is the point. The power of the cross. Romans 6 continues. It says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives and we are no longer slaves to sin. What else? Satan is defeated, hell is defeated, and heaven is possible. Listen, this is the beauty of the power of the cross, is that you and I get to live powerful here on the earth, but it's not just for here. It's that we get to live forever. This is the power. This is, we don't even talk about the resurrection yet because the cross is so powerful that because of the cross, you and I get to live forever. You and I get to have the things that God promised. This is John 14 right here. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Listen, he opens up with this trust thing because this is what's being contended for, trust. This is what's being contended for. Why? Because when we don't trust, we lose power. What does the enemy usually attack in your marriage? Trust. Why don't we trust? Pride. What is that? Breaking trust. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. Where when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. This is the power of the cross, that you and I don't have to live defeated here on earth and forever. This is the hope, you guys. And because of that hope, we walk in victory. This is the beauty, you guys, of the message of the cross, is that you and I don't have to live defeated lives. So the question instantly goes to, why are some of the most miserable people in the world Christians? I'm on committees, and let me just say right now, committees of the devil. Can I say that? Because I did. And I'm sitting like this because I'm really tired. That's the only reason. My back hurts. Oh, committees. And seriously, I'm just throwing this out there. I'm just being honest, and I know we're recording this one. Some of the most miserable people in the world that I've ever met say they're Christians. And it blows my mind. Because you and I should not be miserable. We should leave this place and we should not fight on our way home. We should be able to go out to lunch and leave a really good tip, regardless of how the waitress treated you. We should be able to share the gospel with our words and with our actions everywhere that we go. And for the love of all things holy, put a dang smile on your face. Because some of you, that doesn't come natural. You got to smile, and it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort. I get it. Naturally, it's something else. Put a smile on, you guys. Why? Because the world needs to know that the enemy is defeated. They're not here right now. They're not here right now knowing that we were singing. I'm not going to sing it. I was about to go. You did not want that. They didn't know that that's what we were doing this morning. This is why Jesus said, listen, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples. By the way you live victoriously. By the way you love. By the way you smile. By the way you just show joy in the middle of whatever it is that you're going through. Whatever it is that's going on. And it's not being fake, you guys. It's being victorious. And there is a difference. There is a difference that you can be happy with how you're living your life. And you can be joyful with the things that are going on in your life because you get to choose Because in the end of the day, in the end of your life, we're going to heaven anyway. I'm serious. Like, I don't think we understand eternity. And because I don't understand it, I put so much emphasis in the here and now. Guys, this is passing away. I am not promised tomorrow. I am not promised next week. It could all be gone. And he says, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. What is he saying? Stop putting so much stock in this world right now. Stop it. You're not guaranteed tomorrow, but there is an eternity that's waiting for your obedient life. And that's what we got to talk about. Am I being obedient to the message of the cross and what he is? And this is what Paul's saying. I got one message. I'm preaching Jesus, and I'm preaching the cross, and I'm preaching that he saves us and that he loves us and his grace while I was utterly helpless. That's the message. This is what Paul said. This is my only message. Everywhere I go, it's simple. It's Jesus. It's the cross. That's it. That's it. And that's what people need to see. And why do you think the enemy's attacking that? Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Calm down on the blood stuff. Calm down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Nobody's going to accept that. They don't like blood and guts. Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. Have you seen some? They do. They do. Let them know that there's a God that loves them, that willingly died on the cross for them. That's the message. That's the point. That is the point, that you and I are victorious because of the cross, not because of Life Community Church, and not because of this beautiful music behind me. Okay? It's beautiful, but it's because of what Jesus has done, you guys. Let's not forget the cross and what he's done for us.